The Douglas Report, which is a health report, says that aspartame is one of the most dangerous substances ever added to food. In a moment, another guest, Stephen Fox, joins us, along with Dr. Betty Martini on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Stephen Fox is very active in New Mexico legislative and consumer protection politics, trying to get the FDA to rescind its approval for the sweetener aspartame. He's with us along with Betty Martini. Hey, Stephen, how are you, sir?
Oh, splendid. Thank you for having me as a guest. I think with programs like yours, we could actually, what the opposite of dumbing down the educate the American public into some, really strong consumer protection action, like getting aspartame off the market. I mean, and so I appreciate very much being here.
Stephen, is that doable, do you think, getting it off the market?
Well, to be honest with you, James Turner could explain, has explained, I think, already on your program how he basically forced Nixon to give a presidential order to take it off, to take cyclamates off the market. So, yes, I think it's possible. And, on a state-by-state level, it may be impossible with the kind of corporate logic that rules through lobbyists and that they're really an infernal bunch, they're like whores, And so last year I gave up on New Mexico. I ran into the same people and they kept turning on the steam and saying that it was all internet junk science and so on and so on. And I just concentrated on Hawaii and made, I think, tremendous inroads over there with the ban bill, the bill to ban aspartame, and then when that became impossible due to the same lobbyists, we got a resolution, a powerful resolution. Betty and I wrote it, which basically it's a very different approach. Rather than saying we have to ban it, it's to say, the state of Hawaii is asking the FDA to voluntarily rescind it, and here are the 40 years of reasons why. And I think we're going to do that same resolution in New Mexico and Hawaii this year, and I hope some more states. It's a different approach, but it's ultimately, I think, perhaps more convincing.
I am so convinced, Stephen, and you, Betty, I want to address this to you, that people are becoming sick, getting diabetes, type 2, from so many things that have been put in their food. And, whether this substance or not contributes to it, and you have research that shows that it does, that it's harmful, there's no question that what we're putting in food and drink, we're killing people, we're hurting people.
Well, as far as diabetes is concerned, now Dr. H.J. Roberts, who wrote the medical text, is a diabetic specialist, and he says it not only precipitates diabetes, but it simulates and aggravates diabetic retinopathy and neuropathy. It destroys the optic nerve. It causes diabetics to go into convulsions. It interacts with insulin, and the free methyl alcohol is causing the diabetics to lose limbs. So if you want to kill a diabetic, aspartame will do it, and it's pushed on them. And in 2004, the American Diabetes Association had a suit filed against them for racketeering because of it. And even though they got out of it, the point is that the professional organizations are funded, by industry to defend and to push these products. And this is why it makes it so difficult for us.
Stephen, what about the FDA? I mean, they're supposed to protect us. They're supposed to watch. It seems like they do a good job when they run around trying to find the source of a salmonella outbreak that they find in Mexico, and they blame jalapeno peppers, though they haven't ruled out tomatoes. So there seem to be some hard people working, good workers within the FDA. But politically, isn't that a different story?
They are very good people at the lower levels. Many of the people that fought aspartame being approved from 1966 to 1981, those were very good people. But it slipped into a whole new realm of political whoredom with Donald Rumsfeld. And, when he forced the approval of this, he really has killed a lot more people than those you know, Serbian guy or Croatian guys being tried for genocide in Serbia.
Yeah.
When you add it up, I mean, maiming people and so on and so on. My only hope and prayer and what I work for diligently every day is a new FDA commissioner, not this corporate slug we have now, Dr. von Eschenbach, because he's wallowing in corporate pleasantries. And I had 21 members of the New Mexico legislature. That's almost a fifth of the whole legislature. Sign a letter to him and to President Bush and to the Secretary of Health, Leavitt, asking them to take aspartame off the market. And he did answer. Bush never answered. But von Eschenbach, it's just corporate pleasantries. It's like the sweet, charming letter that you want to get back from someone committing genocide.
Pretty
and
glad
they make no bones about it.
Can anybody try to get... as they did in the tobacco suits documents, and in some cases documents that we get from like Vioxx and things
like that. Absolutely. If one attorney general spearheaded such a thing, it would really take shape very quickly.
There could be some criminal charges here, Stephen.
Yes, and until we there should be criminal charges, and there absolutely should be. And Arthur Hull Hayes and Rumsfeld and Samuel Skinner, they should all be, they're all very old men now, but that's okay. And I want to see a new FDA commissioner entirely. And I think Dr. Dean, Howard Dean, would be great. I personally gave him in 2003 a copy of Blaylock's book, inscribed to him personally. And I know he read it. I've discussed it with him. It's a whole difference between a consumer protection FDA and a corporate serving FDA. As long as you have the kind of guys we have now, they're all following in the footsteps of Arthur Hull Hayes, who was given the job by Rumsfeld as a buddy deal, to approve aspartame in exchange for the job, so Rummy could make $15 million.
Jeez. I mean, weren't some of the attorneys, for example, who maybe not specifically in this case, though I know, Betty, you mentioned one on a prosecutor, but weren't some of the attorneys who have worked for the FDA who were looking at pharmaceutical drugs, the drug companies trying to get them approved through the FDA, didn't they end up as attorneys for the corporations in some cases?
Oh, and the regulators themselves, the scientists end up, it's a revolving door, and it's pathetic. And this is one of the reasons that the American health has declined. And you know what? We're dragging down the rest of the world, too, because so many nations in Africa and Europe and South America, Central America, look to the FDA as this pristine example of the highest possible standards. Well, it's all nonsense. It's just total BS.
What's it all about, Stephen? Is it all about money?
Yeah, and it may be, there may be genocidal attributes, that go beyond just money. There may be, I don't know. It's a very deep philosophical question. But of course, when corporations only want to please their bottom line, they hire lobbyists to come out and kill such things. They either have a whispering campaign like they did in Hawaii that they got to some of the very key people. We had bills that were scheduled that. Like the resolution was scheduled in the Senate Health Committee, and all of a sudden the Senate Health Committee chairman, who signed the resolution as a co-sponsor, mind you, all of a sudden said, I wonder whether this is internet junk science and whether all your rationale that is listed in the Hawaii Senate resolution is just nonsense. And anyway, the listeners can read that, by the way. May I just say this, that it's on the Hawaii legislature website, a Senate Concurrent Resolution 191. And you could take out Hawaii and put in Missouri in that language and introduce it in the Missouri legislature. And I want to encourage people to do that. So I'm grateful for your program.
All right. Go ahead, Betty.
Okay. Also, the same resolution has been... given to an organization in South Africa, the Phoenix Environmental Institute, which we've sort of teamed up with, and they presented it to the South Africa Parliament, and now they have requested that we have it because we have so many operations around the world, having it translated into different languages so we can go about it on a global basis. And I'd also like to mention, since James Turner was on, that what you've heard tonight is in a movie called Sweet Misery, A Poison World, where you can hear the whole thing and all the experts that are in there.
Go ahead, Steve.
We used that movie as convincing evidence for getting legislators on our side, and once they saw it, it was absolutely irrevocable. They all knew. Yeah, and the senator in Hawaii that sponsored the resolution is going to do it again next year. Her name is Suzanne Chun Oakland, and then the New Mexico senator Jerry Ortiz Pino is going to do it again as well. And we another couple of legislators in other states. If you're a legislator and you're listening, or if you have ties to one, get them to do this, because it's a very elegant and very powerful resolution. Once it's even published on a website, on a legislature website, it becomes a very powerful document. And three or four states doing this at once is going to get the attention of a new FDA commissioner, and let's hope it's somebody that cares about people rather than corporations. I like Howard Dean personally, but
would he initiate the beginning of trying to get this banned?
Well, he certainly could, and so could a new president. I mean, don't forget, the one good thing that Nixon did many years ago was simply give a presidential order to get cyclamates off the market.
And it was done.
Yeah, done deal, and what happened with aspartame was the opposite of that. The president ordered the FDA commissioner to not do anything until the new guy could take charge, and aspartame was at the heart of it. And this isn't some nonsense conspiracy theory. This is all provable and dates and documented.
So just to show you that it is documented, I talked to Linda Hart, who was the wife of Jerry Goyen, who was the FDA commissioner, and she said that someone on the Reagan transition team called them up at 3 a.m. in the morning and fired him, and said that Rumsfeld said Goyen had to go because he would have signed the revoke petition into law.
Oh, geez.
And I had her give me an affidavit, and we have it on mpwhi.com. You can actually read the letter of the FDA commissioner. And I've done this to document everything. I'd also like to mention another problem that we had in New Mexico and Hawaii, because I lectured before the Senate and the House. As we got into the Senate, and half of them are sitting there in front of us addicted and drinking Diet Coke. And Dr. Stoller from New Mexico testified with me, and he finally got up in front of them, and he says, "With you senators, drinking Diet Coke here in front of us, we're not going to get very far, but at least have some mercy on the children." And so that, and then when we were and then in Hawaii, there was a senator that didn't set up the resolution who was drinking Diet Coke, and that was the reason he would not do that.
I don't think these people, Betty, care about the children.
I know.
You're right.
And that's,
they pretend to.
So
they make a good game. That's the number one thing for legislators to make a semblance of doing, which is how much they care about the children in the state, but they really don't. You're absolutely right.
And I'll tell you, when I was in New Zealand, horrors of all horrors, that the health minister actually made a deal with Coca-Cola to remove the sugar Coke and put nothing but Diet Coke in all the schools. And that means that it'll destroy the brains of even grammar school students. And I actually sent him the report for school, and I said, "Look, I came 10,000 miles to help you people at least read this report by the world experts." He admitted then that it should not be used for children, but he didn't do anything about it. And then the new health minister came in, and they are working frantically. There's a wonderful lady in Parliament, Sue Kedgley, who has really helped, and Abby Cormack, who is the actress who almost died on it, was almost diagnosed with bipolar, which was the reason that when I went over there, and they recently just submitted a petition with 8,000 names. So you can see the efforts around the world and the problems that we have, although we will not give up, and it's nice that we now have another environmental group that's going to team up with us and help us around the world.
Isn't it amazing? It's not just with aspartame, how so many things are out there to benefit big corporations and just take advantage of people, hurt people, squeeze people, make money without any thought of doing something that could hurt someone.
And without any recourse, unless the people, turn around and mount massive suits against them, like the tobacco suits. I'm inspired. I've always been inspired by that. Tom Udall here in New Mexico was the attorney general then, and he was one of the four or five attorneys general that carried the ball. And, of course, many of them resisted at first, but hey, then it ultimately resulted in, several hundred billion dollars judgment. Well, tobacco is just as bad as aspartame is just as bad, and maybe the judgments would be much bigger. But, so far we haven't gotten any attorneys general to take this on, although
no.
they make nice noises about it and how much they appreciate hearing from you. And New Mexico's is very disappointing to me because he's a PhD in chemistry. This Gary King, his dad, was a three-term New Mexico governor and, a real populist. And so far he hasn't taken it on at all. And Betty even flew from Georgia to New Mexico and actually sat down and talked with him for half an hour. And what did he tell you? If he had the evidence, he would
move
forward?
Yes, he said that if he had the evidence that it could be shown that since aspartame was approved that autism had skyrocketed, and he could see those statistics, that he would help. And Dr. Stoller, who's a pediatrician and who lectures on NutraSweet and autism, and in fact, we were hoping to get him on the show tonight too, actually showed him all those statistics. And still nothing has been done because it's even in the medical text. We've got aspartame disease and ignored epidemic, which is a 1,000-page medical text, and Dr. Blaylock's book, Excitotoxins, talking about the birth defects and the autism. And if you get on mpwhi.com, you will see the famed Dr. Oney's 49-page report to the Board of Inquiry, and the Board of Inquiry report itself revoking the petition for approval, explaining what it was going to do to the brains of our children. So you see, and yet nothing is done with all that evidence. Dr. Elsis testified from Emory, he's professor of genetics, that it's a teratogen and causes, mental retardation and a neurotoxin. And what happened was they took these researchers and physicians who testified to Congress and put them on a yacht and tried to change their mind. And that's in the 8-month investigation by UPI. And we have that on web. Shows you how far, that they went.
And in G.D. Searle, now part of Pfizer, and I assume they're still pumping this out, right?
Well,
the patent got sold to Monsanto, and then Monsanto sold it to Ajinomoto of Japan. And Ajinomoto is also the world's largest manufacturer, not only of aspartame, but of another neurotoxin, monosodium glutamate. And
oh, God, MSG?
The head of Ajinomoto is actually a veterinarian who seems to have some kind of congenital indifference to what it does to people.
Oh, my gosh. Stephen, thanks for being on the show. We'll be joined by Ralph Walton, Dr. Ralph Walton, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Our next special guest is Dr. Ralph Walton, and he truly is an expert on aspartame. He'll be with us with Dr. Betty Martini next on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Ralph Walton, a leading psychiatrist in the world who understands aspartame. Dr. Walton has been involved in the study of aspartame since 1985, when aspartame was first introduced to the world. He's currently in practice in Pennsylvania. Here he is now on Coast to Coast. Hello, Ralph. How are you, doctor?
Very good. How are you?
Good. And Betty, you're still with us?
Yes.
Super. Ralph, tell us, how did you get involved with this, with the study of aspartame?
Well, I became involved really just because of the experiences of one of my patients. I was taking care of a 55-year-old woman who suddenly had a grand mal seizure and a subsequent manic episode. And just doing some detective work, trying to figure out why a woman would have a first-onset seizure at this point in life and then a manic episode, the only change in her life was that she decided that she was a little too heavy and substituted Crystal Light, which was an aspartame product, for the sugar that she usually used to sweeten her iced tea. And it made sense on a chemical basis, so I wrote a paper on it. That's how it began. This was a little over 20 years ago, 1985, that paper was published.
And Betty, tell me your involvement with Dr. Walton.
Well, Dr. Walton writes the information having to do with the psychiatric problems and has helped us tremendously. Because most people have no idea that aspartame is the culprit. And I got in touch with him originally after finding out that he had actually done a study on aspartame himself. And also later on, when 60 Minutes did a big show when Dr. John Oney made world news on the Aspartame Brain Tumor
Yes.
Association, Dr. Walton did the research on scientific peer-reviewed studies and funding for 60 Minutes. So he's contributed a tremendous amount to the anti-aspartame program as far as helping, you know, people understand what it does.
Tell me how 60 Minutes contacted you, Dr. Walton, and then some of the work you did for them.
Okay. I was contacted by one of the producers of 60 Minutes, and he contacted me because I'd published a double-blind study on aspartame. You know, my first paper was just a case report, and people criticized that as being just anecdotal, and that a double-blind study really was the standard that should be used. So I did such a study. And as a result of that, the publication of that study in Biological Psychiatry, my name was out there, and the producer contacted me, said that Mike Wallace was doing a story, and I actually worked with the producer and with Mike Wallace for about a year before that study went, before that story went on the air. And what Betty is referring to is the fact that at one point Mike Wallace challenged me, stating, "Doctor, you claim that aspartame is a problem," he said, "yet so much of the research, basically all of the research, attests to its safety. How do you explain that?" And I pointed out to Mike that virtually all of the studies that attested to safety were funded by the industry. And mm-hmm. the independently funded studies invariably identified one or more problems. He challenged me to prove that, so I prepared a chart where I looked at all of the studies that had some relevance for human safety with regard to aspartame and divided it up into funding sources. And indeed, the correlation was perfect. That is, that all of the studies that said it was safe were funded one way, either directly or indirectly, by the industry. And the studies that did not have any industry funding always found a problem with it.
How could these people who are doing the research for the industry-funded projects, did any of them, do you think, Dr. Walton, say, you know what, this stuff's not good, it's not going the right way? I mean, they must have known what was going on.
Sure. Yeah, I think they must have known. Because, you know, when you look carefully at the studies, those that are not fraudulent, and I found quite a few that had to be fraudulent, but when you look carefully at the studies, many of them are set up in such a way that you can predict ahead of time that you won't identify the problem. For example, we know that aspartame really is a very, very potent migraine trigger. Many people who are prone to migraines will have migraines after taking aspartame. But we know that typically you've got to take it for Well, over 3 or 4 days, not everybody, but many, many people have to have it for several days running before they'll have a migraine. Others are a little more sensitive. But, you know, the study that said it doesn't cause migraines was done with just a 3-day administration of aspartame, which they knew was below the threshold for many people. So many of the studies have that sort of a setup, where it can be designed in such a way that you predict ahead of time that you're not going to identify the problem.
I love the Rowan study. The Rowan study on seizures, you know, they're so afraid that people are going to have seizures. It's 5 times on the FDA report of 92 symptoms that what they did out of 18 subjects, they gave 15 anti-seizure medications so they wouldn't have a seizure, and then used one capsule of aspartame for a 1-day study.
Yeah, it's
sort of tantamount.
It's just absolutely amazing how these studies were set up. And as I said, some of the studies really have to have been fraudulent, because I identified in the work that I did for Mike Wallace, I identified some studies which supposedly were very, very separate studies, where exactly the same numbers in the data appeared out of the fourth and fifth digit, and supposedly very, very separate studies. And there's no way that can happen. So clearly, I think one has to look with great suspicion at many of these studies.
Dr. Walton, you looked at also the alarming increase that our children are going through right now in terms of obesity, type 2 diabetes, and other difficulties, behavioral difficulties as well. Do you think aspartame has a contributing factor to these?
I'm convinced that it is. Obviously, you know, obesity, the current epidemic of obesity in our children, the metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, etc. There are multiple determinants for this. Our culture has changed. Children get less exercise. They spend more time in front of video games and televisions than previous generations, etc. So there are many, many factors. But I'm convinced that one important factor in the obesity epidemic is the use of the ever-increasing use of aspartame, because it, paradoxically, it will actually increase appetite, so that people who are taking it to lose weight will have exactly the opposite result from what they expect and what they want. They'll eat more. They'll have it, particularly that'll develop a carbohydrate craving. So it is really counterproductive, and I'm convinced that it, aside from increasing the weight, which increases type 2 diabetes, is also a more direct effect in increasing the incidence of diabetes.
Betty, this is frightening, and I hope tonight, as we reach out over 500 stations and on satellite radio and computers around the world, I hope some people in the authority positions wake up and start saying, you know what, I didn't realize it was as bad as they say. And at least they start checking into this.
Well, you know, this has been done, but unfortunately, the industry is very clever, very resourceful, has a great deal of funding, and always manages to convince legislators and others that it's perfectly safe, that there's this huge, voluminous amount of research attesting to its safety. It's been very frustrating. So I think that people need to be involved. And indeed, you know, this is the most complained about product. The FDA receives more complaints
yes.
about aspartame than any other product.
And Dr. Walton, why haven't they gotten to you? Why haven't they been able to get you to join them?
I'm a physician. I take care of patients. I want to do what's right.
You took the oath.
That's right.
Some forget that, though.
Unfortunately.
Where does this go from here, Betty?
Well, one of the things I would like Dr. Walton to discuss is the Ramazzini studies that were done in 2005 and what they did to rebut that, because now they have confirmed what the FDA knew from the beginning, is that aspartame is a multipotential carcinogen. It's absolutely illegal. And it's an incredible story. Would you like to talk about the
Ramazzini? Yeah, you know, I didn't do research on this, but Sofridi did send me some of his data. When I went to England, they asked, he was initially going to come also to testify before Parliament. They did ask me to look at their data, and I did so, but I didn't do the research. I was not involved in any of the research. But it is very, very impressive research demonstrating that, indeed, as Betty says, aspartame is clearly a carcinogen. You know, this is what John Olney has been saying for many years. He and I were on 60 Minutes, and that was his research. It was sort of a last-minute thing. Initially, they were going to focus on some of my research, but then this more dramatic research was produced by John Olney, correlating aspartame with brain tumors. And the Safridi study done with rats to demonstrate that, indeed, as we just have been saying, this is carcinogenic.
And this was peer-reviewed by 7 world experts.
Yes, this is a very, very reputable medical institute. This was done with thousands of laboratory animals. It is very impressive research, and it demonstrates, as I said, that this substance is carcinogenic.
And also, what I think is so interesting, for a little bit of humor, the European Food Safety Authority comes out and says, because, you know, they were rebutting it, and they said, well, you know, the rats had respiratory disease. And Dr. Safridi came back and he says, but respiratory disease is the dying process, and this was for the lifetime of the rats. And then finally, when we exposed all this, then the head of the European Food Safety Authority, one of the doctors, Dr. Cole, wrote a press release and said, well, we were pressured by industry to hijack science. So even with that confession, nothing was ever done in Europe, although 47 members of parliament did sign for a ban when Dr. Walton went over and testified.
I'm fascinated, Dr. Walton, how this breaks down and turns into formaldehyde.
Yes, yeah.
The rats actually turn yellow from the formaldehyde in that study.
God.
You know, the amounts are small, as the industry says, but the problem is that we lack the capacity to eliminate it, so it is cumulative.
Well, exactly. I mean, they don't understand that if, you know, you may have little amounts of it from a soda or something else, but over time
it accumulates. Yeah, we lack the ability to eliminate formaldehyde.
And, you know, where does it hit people the most, do you think? I mean, does it affect their kidneys, their liver, the retina of the eye?
Well, I think that it affects multiple
brain?
Organ systems. Yes, clearly, you know, my research involved the central nervous system,
right.
The seizures, behavioral changes, et cetera. But in the double-blind study that we did, people did experience a whole range of adverse effects, as I said, from headaches, depressive and panic symptoms. I believe that it does, but not that it causes panic disorder, et cetera, but it makes vulnerable people feel much, much worse. So there are a whole host of neuropsychiatric problems induced by aspartame. As we're talking about, it's a carcinogenic substance. Two of the people in my double-blind study developed serious eye problems, and this is something I still feel absolutely terrible about, is that the administrator of our hospital was good enough to become a subject in the study. He was at the time a very, very healthy 43-year-old PhD psychologist, and he developed a retinal detachment, an eye emergency, and he permanently lost the sight in one eye as a result of participating in our study.
Is there anybody within the FDA, Dr. Walton, or you, Betty, who is pushing this to get reviewed and possibly, you know, taken out of the American
products?
Many
years ago, I did communicate with somebody in the FDA who seemed, I can't even remember her name now, it was a woman physician in the FDA that I was communicating with, and she seemed very, very interested and very eager to be helpful. And then all of a sudden, she wasn't there anymore. I couldn't find her. It was very strange.
Yes, and it show you how they don't want to have anything to do with it now. You know, they have laws. I wrote a citizen's petition to ban it. The law states they must answer in 180 days. Well, it's been 6 years, and they won't answer it. And the reason is that I used their own words about how bad it was, so they can't come up with an answer. So then I filed an amendment on an imminent health hazard, which means they must answer within a week and 10 days, sent certified mail, and they won't answer that. They serve so above the law that they simply won't touch it. Occasionally, like a woman who had a child with a seizure, just really gave it to the FDA in Florida. And finally, he says, well, we tried to tell you, everyone many years ago, and nobody listened, so it's not our fault.
Why aren't they using the non-caloric herb stevia instead of this?
Well, here's something interesting about stevia. You know, if it has no additives, you know, it's perfectly safe and a very good product. But, for instance, in Brazil, they add aspartame to it.
No.
Yes. And so now everybody was so happy that that Coca-Cola was going to come around and use stevia. They got this deal with Cargill, but it's not stevia, really. It's now been manipulated or genetically engineered. It's got a new name. And this is the reason why. Wow. When I met Mike Silver, who's the CEO of Just Like Sugar today, you know, he made herbs in the Amazon. I said, you know, there's nothing there that's safe for anybody. So that's when he made Just Like Sugar. He says it's so easy. Anybody could have made a safe sweetener. They did not have to use, you know, these chemicals and poisons. And so he made it out of chicory and orange peel. So, you know, there's no excuse for all this. And if they would just leave stevia alone, you know, if it was just
stevia,
green leaf the way that it is and don't put additives in, it's absolutely...
It would be fine.
Yeah.
All right. Now, when people buy it on the market and they use it, and they are now, is aspartame added to that, or should they read the labels? What's in there?
Well, aspartame is not added to it in the United States that I know of, but we have a Mission Possible Brazil, and they told me, you know, because I was writing about it, they said, down here we've got aspartame in it. We verified that. So I tell people, you know, just, you know, you got to read labels these days. First of all, you know, you get something with aspartame in it. It's got MSG, which has a synergistic and additive effect. And you've got all these color dyes and everything else. I tell victims, look, if you want to be safe, it's like Dr. Roberts says, when in doubt, throw it out. Stay away from processed foods. So much is hidden in there that aspartame victims are chemically hypersensitive. And so they think they're allergic to things. But like Dr. Blaylock says, he said, understand the reactions. They're not allergic. They're toxic like arsenic and cyanide. We're talking about a poison.
If you had your wish list, Dr. Walton, what would you like to happen here?
Oh, I'd like to. First, years ago, I said that people just needed to be educated and informed. Now I believe that it is so hazardous, it needs to be banned.
Totally.
Totally.
Immediately?
Yes.
In fact, I was talking to Dr. Deagle one day, and he told me, he says, you know, depleted uranium is the most poisonous thing, but he said aspartame is worse because of its ubiquitous nature in foods. It's in everything. It's in prescription drugs. It's in the very drugs used to treat the problems. Somebody has a headache on aspartame. They go to a doctor. They put them on Maltex. It has aspartame in it. You remember me saying about how aspartame interacts with L-DOPA, so they make Parcopa and put aspartame in it.
Now, can one go online and search aspartame/drugs to see what drugs have aspartame? A lot of people are on different kind of pharmaceuticals. They probably want to know.
Well, yes. Actually, I think if you call, I know I did, the health department and ask them for a list of them, they usually will help you. Otherwise, you've got to know the drug. You have to look at each drug in order to see if it's in it.
Okay, we'll be back in a moment with more on Coast to Coast AM.